Welcome to Glory to Glory, the radio teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. Join us now in our study as we open the Word together.
When we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So you're becoming a liar if you say that. But again, I want to use this just to say God wants to help you. God wants to set you free. God wants to change you, and He can change you. But don't say you're a Christian if you're practicing drunkenness, if you're practicing sex outside of marriage, if you're practicing hatred towards others constantly. And there's lists of that. And I would encourage you to go to Galatians 5 or Ephesians 5 or 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Read through that. Or even in Revelation 22 as we read those. And you read those passages and there's no way. It says if you practice such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And again, I believe there's many people that are just self-deceived. And it's not a condemnation. I want to get this clear. This is not a condemnation. This is an invitation to go to the cross of Jesus Christ, to be cleansed, to be forgiven, and to give your life over completely to Jesus Christ. Let Him clean you up. You might be here today and say, well, I've tried getting cleaned up, Pastor. It just doesn't work. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. And No. You don't have to try to get cleaned up. You just turn from your sin. Let Him clean you up. Because we serve a powerful God that's able to wash you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We're going to go to verse 9 because we talked about fellowship and we talked about sin. But I want to go to verse 9. And it says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's probably one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. Do you notice if you, here today, confess your sins, you have a faithful God that will forgive you. You have a faithful God that will cleanse you. You have a faithful God that will take away all your sin away from you. If you, today, confess, the word confess means to say the same as. So we're saying the same as God is saying. We're saying the same as the Bible is saying. So if God says that sex outside of marriage is forbidden, you'd say, yes, God, I agree. Sex outside of marriage is forbidden. I've sinned against you if that's you today. Or if hatred towards your brother is sin, you just say, God, I've hated people. I have hatred in my heart. And if you confess it, you agree with Him and you confess that to Him, He'll cleanse you. It's in the present tense. It's keep confessing. So some people, I know people personally that say, well, Pastor, I repented once. I asked God to forgive me. I never have to ask for forgiveness again. And I say, well, it says if we confess our sins, we're faithful and just. He says, yeah, once we do that, we don't ever have to do that again. No, you have to do it. It's in the present tense. It means continually. We're to continue to confess our sins to Him. And when we do, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And it speaks of a close relationship with God. It speaks of having short accounts. So when we mess up, we fall, then we go running to the cross. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I repent. I give you my life. God, your word says it's wrong. I agree, Lord. I turn. And it's just not just, don't get me wrong. It's not just, okay, I'm just going to live my life in a sinful way. And this, oh God, I messed up. Sorry about that. And just keep, oh, did it again. And keep going and going and doing it. No. It speaks of coming to Him and just spending time with Him and turning away from your sin and confessing it to Him and say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I repent of my sin. God, I give you my life again. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Restore me. Restore a steadfast spirit in me, God, just like David did when he fell with Bathsheba. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, right? Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Take not thy spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And it speaks of turning. Do you notice He's faithful? The word faithful means worthy of trust. You can rely on Him. You know why that is so great? Because when you sin, when you mess up, and we all do, and again, it's not talking about, as believers, we're going to fall. We're going to mess up. So we get back up. We confess it to the Lord. But no, at that point, when you confess it, He's faithful, right? He's just. In other words, you can rely on the fact when you turn away from your sin and you confess it to Him, you go to the cross, that He's faithful. He's going to take it away. Because you know what happens if you don't believe that? There's condemnation. And then you're walking around like, I can't believe I did that. I remember being a baby in Christ and I'd mess up and I'd just be like, oh, I'm such an idiot. How do I call myself a Christian? It's just so terrible. Just walking around with condemnation. You don't even want to go to church and, look at people. Hi, how you doing? Yeah. Hi. How's it going? Praise God. But then a verse like this can set you free from the condemnation that the enemy wants to put in your life. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Who is it that condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is risen and seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for us. Who is it that condemns? Well, it's called the accuser of the brethren. He condemns us. He's an accuser. He goes before the throne of God day and night. He's accusing us of sin. But guess what? It's worse than he even knows. But God forgives us of all of our sin and cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness when we go to the cross of Calvary. The word cleanse that's in this passage, it means to be freed from guilt of sin, to purify. Even the word unrighteousness, it means all wrongs that are done, but it talks about, being cleansed of the guilt from your wrongs. Don't try to justify your sin, just confess it to the Lord. I know I've told this story before. I love telling it, though, actually. When I was very young, there was different rules in the house. One of the rules is you don't play with, dad's razor blade, right? He used to have one of those. You remember those razors? You turn the bottom like this, and the thing would open up, put the blade on the top, and you turn it, and it closes back. Do they still make those? I don't know. I don't use it. Yeah, okay. Okay. So my dad had it on the sink and you're not supposed to use it. And we all know the rules. You don't touch it. You don't go near it. That's dad's, but I would always watch my dad shave and I would love to, try it out sometime. Right. So I remember I'm alone in the bathroom and I locked the door. I'm thinking nobody can see me. I'm going to clean up my mess. I looked where the razor was positioned. I looked at, kind of measured it out. So I put it right back where I got it. So I got the shaving cream out, put it in my hand. I'm looking at my face. I don't see any hair though. And the only hair I saw were my bushy eyebrows. So I put the shaving cream on my eyebrows. So I got out the razor and I literally shaved one of my eyebrows off. And I just thought, well, that's enough fun for the day. So I I washed it all off and I made sure there was no, shaving cream in the sink. I put the razor right back in the right place. And I'm thinking, I am good to go. No one's going to know. So I step out of the bathroom. My dad's standing right there. He looks right at me. He says, Joey, have you been playing with my razor blade? If I lie to my dad, I'm dead, right? That's rule. It's a big rule in the house. Never lie. So I'm thinking, he'll never know. So I looked him right in the eyes and I said, no, Dad, I did not play with your razor blade. He goes, are you sure? And I looked him back in the eyes and says, Dad, I'm very sure I did not play with your razor blade. And he goes, then why do you have one eyebrow? And I said, well, it must have fell off. My dad laughed so hard. He couldn't even punish me. And he says, this is your punishment. You're going to school today with one eyebrow. And I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I'm like, fine, okay. I thought I was getting away with something. I get to school. All the kids are laughing at me with one eyebrow and they're making fun. I'm sitting in the desk. My teacher in front of everyone says, Joey, can I ask you a question? How come you only have one eyebrow? I said, well, teacher, it must have fallen off. And she says, well, eyebrows don't just fall off. And I said, well, I must have shaved it then. But it felt good to tell someone the truth that I actually shaved it off. Even though it was obvious. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. God's hand's not too short that he can't save you and reach you. God's ear is not too heavy that it cannot hear you and bow down and listen to you. God wants to save you. God wants to help you. God wants to listen. God wants to hear. God wants a relationship with you. But when it comes to sin, He will not bow down to you when you're in sin. You must confess it. You must go to the cross. You must turn from it. You must ask Him to forgive you and to cleanse you. And as soon as you ask for forgiveness, God's right there. I remember years ago when I was in the world, my sister, living in Michigan, my sister moved out to California. She lived in a place called Calvary, or a place called Costa Mesa, and she went to a church called Calvary Costa Mesa. In that church, she prayed to receive Jesus. She came home and she told everybody, "My life has changed." And I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, she looked at me and she says, "Joe, you can actually know God." And I says, "Yeah, I do know." No, she goes, "No, you can actually know God personally." And it took me 13 years to actually know God personally after that point because of my sin. I didn't want to give up my sin. I wanted to live in sin, but my sin was separating me from a holy God. But as soon as I gave my life to Christ and I repented of my sin, God restored, God brought a relationship. God's presence was evident in my life and still is today. It's only sin that can separate you from a holy God. And it's so great to know the fact that all you need to do is go to the cross of Calvary and ask for forgiveness of your sin. And as soon as you ask for forgiveness of sin, He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He forgives you of the sin. The forgiveness that's in that passage, it talks about taking it away, removing it from you. So it's like you became one with sin and you're walking around like this, but there's a separation because of the sin. And so what you do is you admit it to Him, you turn away from it, and He just takes it away. And then He cleanses you from your guilt and shame. His hand's not too short to reach you today. His ear wants to bow down. He wants to listen to you. He wants to talk with you. But it's your sin. Remember in Numbers chapter 21 when the children of Israel spoke against God and they were complaining against Moses? They were complaining about being in the wilderness. They said the food was better in Egypt and it was so much better for us back there in Egypt. And they even talked bad about they called it the worthless bread, talking about the manna. They said, "We don't even like this bread that you're giving us." Remember what the Lord did? He sent fiery serpents. Remember that? And the fiery serpents were in the camp and it would bite some of the people. And when they were bitten by these serpents, the people would die. So that got their attention, let me tell you. So they went to Moses. They said, "Moses, we've sinned against the Lord. We've sinned against you. We're wrong. Please pray to God. Please tell Him to take away these fiery serpents. We turn away. We repent. We turn." So Moses went in and talked with the Lord. Remember what the Lord said? The Lord says, "I want you to make a bronze serpent. I want you to put it up on a pole. I want you to set it up in the camp. And anyone that looks at this serpent that's on this pole, they're going to be healed." So all they had to do was look up at the serpent. And then, you know, once they did, they were healed. And the serpent, you know, represents sin and Satan and evil. And so they were recognizing the fact that I'm a sinner. I recognize, I'm turning from my sin. I realize I'm a sinner. And that's all they needed to do. Do you know, I believe that there was people in the camp that were like, "I'm not looking at that stupid serpent. That's ridiculous. How can looking at a serpent on a pole, how is that going to heal me?" And they died. But everyone that turned and realized and said, "Okay, only one provision. What is the provision, God? The provision is looking up at the one that's up on the pole. Okay, the serpent that's looking at that, and I'm going to be healed?" And they did that, and they were healed. Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus made reference to that. In John chapter 3, I'm going to put it up on the board. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's an act of faith. It's believing that the only provision for man in sin is through Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the only provision. We don't have to slay the dragon. We don't have to do any kind of crazy things for forgiveness. All we need to do is know that we're a sinner and go to the cross and believe and look upon Him that became sin for us. And sin is taken away. I read a story about a small town prosecuting attorney. He called up his first witness to the stand in the trial. She was a grandmotherly type, an elderly woman. And he approached her and he says, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" And she responded, "Well, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy." She says, "Frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me." Says, "You lie, you cheat on your wife, and you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a rising big shot when you haven't the brains to realize you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." Well, this attorney didn't know what to do, so he pointed over to the defense attorney. He says, "Mrs. Williams, do you know him?" And she replied, "Oh, yes, I do. That's Mr. Bradley. I've known him, too, since he's been young." He says, I used to babysit him for his parents. "He, too, is a real disappointment to me. He's lazy. He's a bigot. He has a drinking problem. The man can't build normal relationships with anyone. His law practice is one of the shoddiest in the entire state. Yes, I know him." At this point, the judge calmed the courtroom down, and he called both of the counsel to the bench. In a quiet but stern voice, he said to both of them, "If either one of you ask her if she knows me, I'll throw both of you in jail for contempt." Everyone needs forgiveness. There's not one good, no, not one, the Bible says. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. But as believers, we need to continually turn and turn to the Lord and turn to the cross. I love what we're told in Psalm 86:5. It says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all." Did you notice? "To all those who call upon you." That's our God. He's ready to forgive. He's abundant in mercy. And all we need to do is turn and call on him. When we went through the book of Revelation, John wrote in Revelation 1:5, he said, "Unto him that loves us and washes us from our sins in his own blood." John, writing the book of Revelation, during the time he wrote it, the church was under heavy persecution. And he's reminding them and he's reminding us that we have a God that sent his son that was sacrificed for us, that all of our sin is washed away because of the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, they had sacrifices. They would bring a lamb, and they would have the lamb before them, and they would take their hands, and they would confess their guilt, their fault, their sin upon the head of the lamb. And then the lamb would be stricken, would be killed. And the blood of the lamb would just pour out, but the lamb was without spot or blemish. The lamb was innocent. It wasn't his fault that he died. It was the fault of the person that committed the sin, but the sin was transferred. So when Jesus walked on this earth, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Has he taken your sin away?" Are we continually going to the cross? Are we continually confessing it to him? Are we justifying it? Are we trying to make excuses why we do what we do? See, if you want spiritual growth, you need to confess your sin. If you want to stay the way you are, you want to stay in your sin, just keep making up excuses why you do what you do, and you'll stay in that state forever. But if you confess it, he's faithful, he's just, he'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us. Not from some, from all unrighteousness. He wants to take it away. I heard a story about a young pastor that was pastoring a church, and right after he was out of Bible college, and there was a lady in the church that when she would pray, she would say all the time, "You know, the Lord spoke to me, the Lord spoke to me, the Lord spoke to me." And finally, he was, as a young pastor, he was kind of concerned and wondering if the Lord really was speaking to her. So he went to her and says, "You know, you always say the Lord is speaking to you." He says, "I want to say something to you." He says, "You know, I did something before I went into Bible college." He said, "It was a terrible thing that I did. I wish I never did it. And if God is speaking to you, I'm going to meet with you next Sunday, and I want you to tell me what that thing was. I want to know if God really speaks to you." And she says, "Okay." So the next Sunday comes, and the pastor goes up to the lady after service and says, "Well, did God speak to you?" She goes, "Oh, yeah, the Lord spoke to me. He says, "Well, what did he say?" He says, "He doesn't remember what you did." Because that's what happens when we sin and confess it to the Lord. He puts it behind him as if it never happened. He chooses not to remember. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. I don't know why. I love hearing when verse 14. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. We're dirt. And he chooses to love us. And he has pity on us. But as far as the east is from the west, in other words, he casts it so far away that it's never seen again. He takes it completely away when we confess it to him. I love what Micah tells us. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. That's our God. He delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Well, let me tell you, he puts all of our sins into the depths of the sea, and there's a no fishing sign there too. So don't try to fish out your sin once you've confessed it to the Lord, because he wants to bury it forever. John Wesley, a wonderful quote. John Wesley said, give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I will shake the world. Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I will shake the world. Are we fearing our sin, realizing it separates us from God? Are we giving it to him at the cross? If you were invited to a movie theater, a large movie theater, and everyone you ever knew were invited, your friends, your enemies, and the movie theater's filled up, and you're sitting there, and it's your life story. It's everything you've done, good and bad. Everything you've done behind closed doors, everything you've done, the things maybe you've never told anybody, and they're up on the big screen for everybody to see. Would you stick around and sign autographs at the end? I don't think any of us would. Or wait for them to applaud you? No. Or would you run out the back door as fast as you can? You see, again, all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. There's not one good, no, not one. It's not a ticket to sin. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. We serve a God of grace, a God who's quick to forgive, a God that's slow to anger. But don't use God's grace as an opportunity to sin. Use God's grace as an opportunity to repent and to fall on your knees and just give yourself totally to him. It's his goodness, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the most powerful verses in all the Bible. If we would just apply it and allow that cleansing power to come, allow the shame to be taken away, to allow the guilt to be taken away. There is such freedom. We can walk in total freedom because we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry because according to God, we're forgiven. Amen.
Have been listening to Glory with Pastor Joe Pettick, an outreach of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. If you would like to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call now at 714-788-8221. That's 714-788-8221. We'd like to extend an invitation to visit us here at Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. Our address is 16450 Pacific Coast Highway in Huntington Beach, California, 92649. We're located in Peter's Landing Marina in Huntington Harbor. Our Sunday service times are 10 a.m. and 12 o'clock noon. Our Tuesday evening Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Now, may we continue to go to His throne of mercy as He changes us from glory to glory.